recently looked into the character of the saints. Today we're going to look at the character of the wicked. Interestingly enough, attributes to stay away from. The new topical textbook by R.A. Torrey is one that I looked in and found the character traits of the saints. It also has right underneath it the character traits of the wicked. And so it's a longer list than the other, interestingly enough. And like before, each character trait put forth is with a scripture reference. So let's start down the list to see what we find. For the sake of time, we'll skip through a few of them. But as we'll soon see, scripture already has numerous lists on this very subject matter. Revelation 21 and verse 8, the first one listed, as these are in alphabetical order, is abominable. Revelation 21:8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So here we have a list given in Scripture of wicked traits, wicked attributes, character traits of the wicked, things that we're to be staying away from, things that we are to be growing away from, because we are in a growing process and we're building good character and striving to do Yahweh's will and to walk in His ways by His Spirit, by His truth. Listed here are a number of things. Cowardly is the first thing that's listed. Basically, weak, spineless, timid could be some other words that we could put in there. But basically, the cowardly are unwilling to stand up for what is true and right. And I suppose we could consider this for ourselves. What if we're walking with an old friend or a family member, and we happen to see some brethren, but maybe we're a little ashamed for some reason, and so we turn around and we walk away. We don't want our friend to maybe experience something bad that we feel might arise. We don't want to talk about religion or this type of thing. It's cowardly to be that way. And regrettably, there have been some that act and do things like that. Going back to the list, unbelieving, skeptical, disbelieving, one who lives contrary to the lifestyle of a believer, abominable, utterly detestable, foul, odorous, unclean, spiritual, and physical implications with this one, a word connected with abomination, murderers, willful killing in a non-defensive nature, usually to gain something not belonging to them, immoral, living as an impure or unclean person, one against Yahweh's instructions for living, both physical and spiritual implications with this one also, magician or enchanter using divination or potions, witches would fall into this category, idolaters, a servant or worshiper of idols, covetous in the sense of accumulating things or wealth to the exclusion of proper service and worship to Yahweh. Liars, those who speak and promote falsehood or wrong ways to others, a witness bearing or presenting incorrect testimony, for example, is a liar. So these are things we want to stay away from. We don't want to approach these or have these in our character. But, you know, we were called out of the world. We've done some of these things, but we don't want to do them now. And the Spirit is here to help so that we don't. Have you ever considered Revelation 21:8 in context? Revelation 21:7-8. He who overcomes will inherit these things. What's the opposite of overcoming? It's being overcome. What happens if you're overcome? But it says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his Elohim, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Scripture speaks of those who knew little will receive few stripes, but those are, I guess we should ask the question, what about those that knew the truth and neglected it? They received insight, maybe even being baptized, but slowly drifted and became as an unbeliever, living contrary to the word. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3, it's a warning. For this reason, we must pay attention. pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Master, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. It's one thing to be blind from the get-go. It's another thing to see and then become blind. The punishment, it appears, would not be the same for both. Another attribute listed is covetous. Interestingly enough, Romans 1:29 is given. Let's look at it and the surrounding scriptures. Romans 1:28 and verse 32. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge Yahweh any longer, they were evidently acknowledging him at one point, Yahweh gave them over to depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of Elohim, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of Yahweh, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Again, we can see a whole list of things which are attributes to the wicked here. Paul is also saying these wicked are not ignorant, or at least they weren't ignorant at one point, but knew enough about Yahweh that they were without excuse. If we take these down and go down the list on them, he says they are full of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. He says they are gossips, slanderers, haters of Elohim. And I put this in brackets because that's actually not in the text. It just says haters. Insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy. Interesting thing about hating is we can hate. In fact, I watched something on television here not too long ago, and the individual was kind of a rough individual. He just looked down, he was kind of depressed, and he said, I can't believe it. I hate everything. And it was funny, but yet it's not funny. We are not to hate everything. We're not to hate. And that's the point here. We're not to have unrighteousness. We're not to have wickedness, evil, envy, murder, these type of things. And, of course, Yahshua emphasized some of these things for us, letting us know, hey, don't even think about these things. Whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of praise, think about these things, because these things are in line with the Spirit, and they're in line with Yahweh's Word. You know, I think sometimes we have to sit and think about, what are the attributes that we are not to have? Maybe go through the list and see, you know, can we put our name to this? You know, is David unrighteous? Is he wicked? Does he have greed? Is he evil? Does he have envy? You know, do we murder? Do we think about it? Do we strive? Do we have deceit, malice? Are we gossips? Are we talking behind people's backs, putting them in a bad light in front of others? I mean, we're dealing with human nature. It's really easy to do some of these things. There's some times we have to talk about a situation or two, but to go around and just gossip, it's referring to slanderers here. Slanderers. You know, there's actually a legal problem that we can get into. It's called the defamation of character. It's a legal term, and people can get sued over defamation of character when you basically assassinate someone's character in front of others. And basically, whether it's true or not, I mean, these something in the law of the land. But haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. Are we boastful? You know, Paul said he boasts. But he boasts about the Master. He boasts about the understanding and, you know, the knowledge he had in Yahweh. Not to boast about knowledge itself, but of the Master. inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. That's a promise that, or that's a commandment with a promise that we are actually blessed, will live long if we honor our parents. There's also unloving and unmerciful to the list. I see it on the second page here. Hadn't turned it. I feel for those that will be receiving this in prison, because the Bible talks about not being around those that are wicked, because you can actually pick up traits and it ruins character. And it's hard when you're confined and you're actually forced to be around others. But Paul even addresses this. It's addressed in Scripture that those that are so-called believers, those that claim to be brethren, those are really the ones that we are to be staying away from. We're not to necessarily be taken out of the world or to stay away from the world. We have jobs we have to go to, and we may not like maybe some of the people. It's not that we don't like them. Maybe we don't like the character and sins that we see. It's disheartening, because we'd like to see a world in peace and in love and with the attributes that are of the Spirit and are good things, things that the character of the saints are to be having, or the saints are to be having in their character, I should say. But these wicked traits, these are attributes we are to get away from. We have to ask ourselves, are the attributes we are harboring and allowing to get more of a foothold in our lives? Even if we're in a position that we're stuck around people that we're not, we don't really want to be around, we can still be a light to them. We can, by our own example, not trying to terrorize or force our beliefs down someone's throat, but to just be a light, be a good example. So they're going, there's something really different about John, or there's something really different about Peter or Liz or Danielle. I'm not sure what it is, but, we want to go and have a party over here, and they don't want to really join us. Well, that's kind of strange. But, I admire them for, what they're doing. They seem to be living a good life. We can be a light to others. We are to be obedient children. And while we may not be perfect, we should be growing and getting better in our character, getting all wicked character attributes away from us so that it is not even seen or heard among us, which is scriptural. Another attribute is disobedient. Disobedient is another item on the list of character traits of the wicked. Interestingly enough, the scripture given points to those who were once obedient. Nehemiah 9 through 26. But they became disobedient. They became disobedient and rebelled against you and cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who had admonished them so that they might return to you. And they committed great blasphemies. In this section of Scripture, it continues to speak of how Yahweh gave them time to repent. And he showed great restraint in how he dealt with them, ultimately bringing them closer to himself. But those who continued in sin back at that time would have died a first death. Those of us today that turn away from Yahweh, knowing what we know and actually being in a relationship with the Father through the Son, face an eternal death. We face the lake of fire. It can happen by a single act of defiant disobedience, or it can happen gradually as a person drifts away from Yahweh, being non-effective, unproductive, and eventually falling away into unbelief. I don't believe anymore. I don't need this. It happens. We've seen it happen. At some point, Yahweh's Spirit will leave a disobedient individual. There's no question about it. Good and bad do not mix. And while Yahweh has patience with us, he does not have patience with outright and insistent rebellion. We are not to deal with outright and insistent rebellion either. Paul instructed Titus in the pastoral epistles and stated plainly in Titus 3:10 through 11, reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Now, you know, I should mention back to those who might be receiving this in prison, you have the ability to, if you get out, and hopefully you will, to not go back to old friends, old acquaintances. You can stay away from that, and you can turn your life around. You're already starting to turn your life around by trying to do what's right now. Don't give up. Don't go back, because there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing to go back to. You've given that up. You've cleansed yourself. Yahweh has actually cleansed you. You're in the process of being cleansed. Yahweh's Spirit's working with you. He's not limited by the bars, or he's not restrained by the walls that are around you, and he can protect you where you are. But when you're given the opportunity, you're not to take that lightly. You know, when you're released, move forward with Yahweh. Let him point you in the right direction by his word, by his spirit, by the opportunities that he gives. But in Nehemiah 9:26, and this section of scripture continues to speak of how Yahweh gave them time to repent. He showed great restraint in how he dealt with them. Titus 3:10 through 11 says, of course, reject a factious man. Paul is sometimes accused of being a heretic and actually teaching against scripture, but it turns out he is spot on in his understanding of scripture. And with the seriousness of the times, when living waters are being offered to people, he doesn't mince words. He knows the seriousness of the times, as we should also. There's no way back when we make the commitment to Yahweh. We can turn around. We can go back. But it's a death sentence. It really is. Another word chosen as a character trait of the wicked is fierce. Interestingly enough, we looked at Simeon and Levi in the reading today. Genesis 49, they were fierce. They had fierce anger. They cut the hamstrings of the ox, meaning they cut it to where they couldn't even walk. Terrible. Yahweh didn't like that. He doesn't like cruelty to animals. Synonyms for fierce: violent, brutal. I'm sure some of the other translations bring out some other words. But in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it says, "But realize this, then the last days difficult times will come." I think difficult times are already here. "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents," and losing out on the blessing as well. "But they're ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips." Not just talking about people, they're malicious when they do. "Without self-control, brutal, haters of good." Not just haters, they're haters of good. But haters in general. "Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yahweh. Holding to a form of righteousness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Notice that it says these people hold to a form of righteousness. The word is Strong's Greek 2150, Eusebia, and it means one who appears religiously devout, interestingly enough. It's how one shows himself pious towards Elohim. Of course, we read of Scripture, it says, "Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing." Because they on the outward they look fine, but inwardly they are ravenous, they are hateful, they have just wickedness about them. And essentially, we're given a list of character traits here, and I think we already see that these type of things are going on now. Mankind in general, will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure. Is any of that here? Is any of it sensed? Should it be sensed? Should we be able to see it here? No, not here among us. It shouldn't be here. And hopefully it's not. But if we look at ourselves, if we're really truthful, I think sometimes we can see some of these things. And Yahweh helps us with His Spirit. He allows us to see ourselves for who we are. And we're pitiful. You know, it's not our own righteousness that approves us. It's we're going through the Messiah to Yahweh. But we better be growing. We better not neglect the salvation that we've been given, because we can lose it. It's as simple as that. The next attribute of the wicked is that they are infidels, basically non-believers or unbelievers. Psalms 10 and verse 4, the wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no Elohim. All of his thoughts, everything he does, it shows that they are not believing. There was a movie that my wife and I saw recently. It was edited. I'm not sure what they edited out, but it was edited for television. But the movie was called something about the invention of lying. And we realized that whoever wrote this or produced it was evidently an atheist in belief, because they really made religion look bad. They came up with this idea that there's a man in the sky, and it was all made up. It was a lie. And they're trying to show how people are so silly to believe in such things. So we see these things. We see the thoughts of men saying there is no mighty one. There are many who say there is no Elohim. Actually, they say there is no God, but we know that there is a God who rules this world called Satan, and he influences, he promotes his evil Some time ago, I was listening to a motivational speaker by the name of Zig Ziglar, kind of an unusual name, Zig Ziglar. But he's a motivational speaker, he's a number of books that he's written. And I was listening to him, and he said, basically, there was a study done where they found some atheists, self-proclaimed, and they set them down and had a lie detector test. Guess what? They were liars when it came to the question, do you believe in God? They said no. And the lie detector test went zzzz. It did it each and every time. Everything else they answered truthfully. The lie detector said that they were lying to themselves, basically. And lying is another character trait which is brought up in the topical Bible. As we've already seen, listed in Revelation. The scripture given here, though, is Psalm 59 and verse 12. On account of sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be caught in their pride, and on account of curses and lies which they utter. So the opposite attribute for us, of course, is that we are not to lie to ourselves, one another, or to others. And it should not be found among us, nor should we hang out with those or be close to those that do lie that we find. Reprobate is another one on the list, meaning degenerate or one who is base in their thinking or actions. And it's also listed as an attribute of the wicked. Of course, the scripture given is insightful and again is directed to the brethren. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Yahshua the Messiah is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? How can we fail the test? We can ask if we have any of the attributes of the wicked, which we are not overcoming or getting away from. If you are having an adulterous affair, and are coming to worship before Yahweh. Is Yahshua with you? Is Yahshua going to stay with you if you live according to such a contrary lifestyle of the faith? Can one repent of such an action? The Apostle Paul indicated that a brother or sister could and therefore can. And in the very same letter to the Corinthians, the second letter to those at Corinth, he instructed in 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 9, sufficient for such as one is the punishment which was afflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Could this be the very one that Paul told them to put out of the assembly? Evidently, this person was disfellowshipped, but came back, repented, said, you know, look, I was way out of line, wrong, totally. Please forgive me. Was this the one that was disfellowshipped because of a grievous sin? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind that does not even exist among the Gentiles. Well, back at that time, anyway. It was just ridiculous. Couldn't believe it was happening. That someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead. So they were evidently accepting of the situation they found themselves in, even the brethren that knew about it. So that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. That's what should have happened. For I on part, verse 3, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Master Yahshua, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Master Yahshua, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Master Yahshua. The idea is that disfellowshipping should occur so that the individual will repent and cease from sinning. That's the purpose. That's the main goal. Well, this man is... or was the one being disfellowshipped, I did find it strange that nothing was mentioned about the woman. What happened to her? Was she a non-believer and not in the faith? As we continue, Paul goes on to say here, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 12 through 13, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the body or within the assembly? But those who are outside, Elohim judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Okay, again, the woman is not mentioned, but Paul is evidently addressing how she should be dealt with. Yahweh will deal with her, is basically what he's saying. And by the way, Paul is not yelling here. The reason for all the caps in the text is the quote from the book of Deuteronomy. So Paul is in line with Scripture. Paul is teaching them in spirit and in truth, the truth and spirit of Yahweh's word. And while there are still other traits of the wicked, let's look at just one more. Unprofitable. The scripture reference is Matthew 25 and verse 30. Matthew 25 and verse 30. Throw out the worthless or unprofitable slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, what place is that? This is the end of a parable of one who had hid his talent. He wasn't productive with what he was given, and so it was taken away, and he himself was thrown into the lake of fire, or described in this verse as outer darkness. I think it's the same place. Gnashing of teeth, weeping. It's just like these branches that were thrown in the fire. They started weeping and whistling and making different sounds. I couldn't help but think about the, you know, being thrown in the lake of fire. What that would, you know, reminds me of that. And I know that examples were used of those things that people could relate to. A lot of agricultural things that were done, trimming of trees. These things have to be done. You know, when Yahshua talks about us being like pillars in the kingdom, you look in Athens, they actually had buildings that had pillars that looked like people. So people could make the connection. Oh, yeah, a pillar in the temple. Okay, I can picture that because they had that. A lot of the stuff was pagan, but, I mean, people could relate to some of these things. Just like the lake of fire called Gehenna. They knew it was a place of a fiery pit where dead things would be thrown in to be burned up, trash, refuge. It was all destroyed. And around the perimeter, there would have been, you know, things that have fallen, didn't quite make it into the fire. There would have been flies and worms, and those worms would produce more flies, and those flies would produce more worms, and the cycle wouldn't stop. Their worm wouldn't die. And so these things are described so that we can understand. And grabbing those branches and trying to throw them into the fire. Some, there's a maple tree out there that is like all thorny. And it didn't want to go. It was actually grabbing onto my arm as I was trying to throw it into the fire. And is grabbing onto other branches. Didn't want to go. But indeed it went and was destroyed. I think it's significant that we end up with this scripture, Matthew 25, verse 30, because we started out with Revelation 21, 8, which in context appears to be speaking of the brethren who will overcome and fall back and become worthless and good for nothing, except destruction in the end. We see people leaving. We see people going back to the world. We've had people come back, said they left and went into the world, and then they leave again. Because they've lost something. They've lost their first love. They've lost more than that, I think. I think they've lost the Spirit. Because the Spirit wasn't going to stay with them if they're going to live that way. And the Spirit won't stay with us if we're going to live contrary to Yahweh's ways. Just won't happen. Yahweh is not mocked. He says he is not mocked. And so it's a warning to us. As with all the scriptures we've looked at today, don't become complacent, don't do wicked things, and don't just sit back and do nothing. If Yahweh has indeed given you the ability, good health, and a gift or gifts to help with the work, then indeed help with the work. It's simple. Now, I heard something recently stated that I think makes sense and for us, and we should consider it, meditate upon it, think about it. We can't all do everything, but we can all do something. Again, we can't all do everything, but we can all do something. We are all to avoid the attributes of wicked traits, as they are opposite to the attributes of the righteous character of the saints. May Yahweh bless you.